The Mishnayos, the beginning of this parak at least, continue the discussion of what to do in a case of a doubtful firstborn. One who buys an animal from a non-Jew, and is unknown whether this animal has given birth before or not. It's a female animal, and then once the person buys it, the animal gives birth to a male child. And the question arises as to whether this is considered to be a firstborn, whether he needs to be concerned that it's a firstborn, and give it to a kohen or not. Rabbi Shmuel says, Eiz bas shenasa, a goat, as long as it is in its first year, if the mother goat is in its first year of life, vade la kohen, then the animal which it gives birth to in its first year is vade la kohen. It's certainly given to the kohen, since the nature of goats is such that it would not be possible for it to give birth to two children at different stages, both in its first year. And therefore this can be presumed to be the firstborn. Mikan ve'elech, from this point onwards, if the mother goat gave birth, then sofeg, it is considered to be a doubt as to whether this is the first animal born from the goat or not. And because it's a doubt, the regular procedure of allowing the animal to graze until it develops a wound, and therefore there's no longer an option that it's a korban, a sacrifice, and at this point the owner is able to slaughter it for its meat and eat it himself. He cannot work the animal or shear it, for example, because it might be a firstborn, and a firstborn, even once it has a wound, is bound by those things. However, he is able to slaughter it and eat it himself. The meat of a firstborn which has a blemish is not forbidden for a regular Jew to eat. Rochel bas shtayim, a female sheep which is within its first 2 years of life, vade la kohen, a animal born from there is certainly going to belong to the kohen, since the nature of sheep is such that it would not give birth to two animals at two different occasions within its first 2 years. And if it gives birth, mekam va'elech, from that point onwards, then sofeg, it will be a doubt. Horavachamar, a cow or a donkey, also the mitzvah of Pidyon Petach Hamor applies, where the firstborn needs to be redeemed onto a sheep or a goat, and that given to the kohen. So if a cow or donkey are the subject of doubt, then Bnos Sholosh, if they are within their first 3 years, Vadela Kohen, then the animal born from them certainly belongs to the kohen, since it's certainly a firstborn, because the animal would not have given birth twice within its first 3 years. Mekam va'ilach sofek, but from then onwards, if the animal is born, it would be a doubt. Now, Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said to Rabbi Shmuel, Iluv bavlad vuvada behema nifteres. If it was true that only a surviving child of the mother animal, that's the only thing which exempts the next animal which is born from the mother from being given to a kohen, then I would also say like your words, and I would agree with you. But Ela Omru, but the Chachom said that even in cases where the animal doesn't give birth to a child, but something comes out of the animal's womb, which is a sign that at least a fetus began to be produced, the animal was fit to give birth, but an abortion happened in the middle, that is also enough to be considered sort of the firstborn, even though the animal didn't survive, and therefore it's not going to be given to a kohen. But it's enough that the next animal which will be born from the mother is not going to be considered the firstborn. So whilst it's true that a cow, for example, does not give birth twice within its first 3 years, that's only referring to giving birth to real children which will survive. But there's a possibility that the animal gave birth or produced a fetus which was then aborted in the middle, but that is enough to exempt the next animal from being given to a kohen. And so you cannot tell me that during the first 3 years, any animal which is born is certainly a firstborn. And the Mishnah gives examples. Simon Havlad Mimhemodaka, the sign of a child, of a fetus which had started being produced, when it comes to a Behemodaka, a small domestic animal such as a goat or a sheep, is Tinuf if there is some blood exiting from the womb of the animal. There are certain circumstances of blood exiting the womb which indicate a fetus having been produced there. Uvagasa, and regarding larger animals, shilya, an amniotic sac, which is the sac in which a fetus grows and develops whilst in the mother's womb. If a sac comes out of the womb, then that is an indication of a fetus having been produced over Isha. And regarding a woman, a human being, Shofer, if there is a embryo, a form which has human-like features and is recognizably the beginning of a human being, a fetus, the shilya or an amniotic sac which comes out of the womb, those two would be indications of a fetus regarding a woman, even though the discussion of the Mishnah is regarding animals. The Mishnah talks about signs regarding a woman as well, since we're anyway talking about signs of a fetus. And now the Mishnah summarizes. Zehaklol, this is the rule, kol sheyodua shebikra, any time that it is known that this mother animal has already given birth to her firstborn, ein kan lakoyin klum, the kohen would not receive anything from anything else which is born in the future, v'chol shelo bikra. Any time where the mother animal is known to have not yet given birth to her first child, harizeh lakoyin, then any male child born will be given to the kohen, because that is the firstborn. Im sofek, if it is a doubt, and based on what Rabbi Akiva just told us, and can be a doubt even from early on in the animal's life, ye'ochel b'mu'el ha'baylim, it needs to be eaten once it develops a wound, and it can be eaten by the owner. Like we explained, since it is a doubt, one cannot give it to a kohen to bring as a korban, because if it is not a firstborn, then it cannot be brought as a korban. The kohen also has no monetary right to claim it. At the same time, however, the owner can't use it at all until it develops a wound, in case it is a firstborn, and therefore it does need to be brought as a korban. But once it develops a wound and becomes invalidated from bringing a korban, then the owner is able to eat it himself, since the meat of a firstborn which has a wound is permitted for a non-kohen to eat. And all that exists is a monetary claim of the kohen, and since it's a doubtful monetary claim, the rule of Hametz Mechaveru Olav Haraya states that the Jew can keep it. Now, in the cases which the Mishnah talked about, for example, where a amniotic sac or some beginning of a fetus comes out of the womb of the mother, and that is enough to exempt the next animal from being considered a firstborn, nevertheless, this particular amniotic sac obviously is not given, whatever the fetus is, that part of the fetus is not given to a kohen, and it has no sanctity either. It's not a fully developed child, and therefore it's not considered to have the sanctity of a firstborn itself. So one would be able to just feed it to the dogs if he wanted to, and that is indeed explicit in the Mishnah in Maseches Chulin in the fourth perek. That having been said, Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov, Omer Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov says, Behemo gasa, a larger animal, sheshof acharas dom, from whom a clod of blood comes out of her womb. And this mother animal has never given birth before. And this is an example of something which would exempt the next animal from being considered a firstborn. However, because it's just considered to be a little bit of blood, and people would probably not realize that the law is that this exempts the next animal from being considered a firstborn. Because of that, Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov says, fascinatingly, midrabbonon harizoti kover, it needs to be buried, just like something which contains the sanctity of a firstborn or of a korban. It needs to be buried in order to show people and to publicize the fact that this is considered to be something which would exempt the next animal from being a firstborn. And that mother becomes exempt from the mitzvah of b'chayra, meaning the next child born from the mother will not be considered a b'char. And in order to publicize this, we bury the clod of blood which came out of her womb. Mishnah Beis, Mishnah Megamdil says, Halukech behema meiniko min anochri, one who buys an animal which is nursing a younger animal from a non-Jew, meaning he's buying that adult animal, and he sees in the non-Jew's property, he sees that the animal is nursing a younger animal. This is an indication that the mother animal has already given birth. One does not need to be concerned, perhaps this is actually a different animal's child, and this mother animal has actually never given birth before. Rather, one can use this as a safe indication that indeed this is the child of that mother animal, and that she has given birth beforehand, and therefore, once he buys the animal, and she gives birth to a male child, he does not need to give that to the kohen, since he can safely assume that it is not the firstborn. If somebody enters into the area where his flock of animals, his herd, are grazing, and he sees that those animals which just gave birth to their firstborn animal are nursing those the young male animals, and he also sees those animals which have already given birth to their firstborn in the past, they are also nursing their children who are not firstborn animals. He does not need to be concerned that perhaps one of the firstborn animals went to nurse with a mother who already in the past had given birth to a firstborn, or vice versa. He can safely assume that the children are nursing with their mothers, and so he'll be able to give the firstborn animals to a kohen and tell him that it is a certain bechor. The kohen can bring it as a korban if it doesn't have a wound, and at the same time, regarding the other animals which are nursing with a mother who has already in the past given birth to a firstborn, he would be able to benefit from that animal like a regular non-holy animal. And the point of the Mishnah is that even if the animals might have certain different features to the mother animal from which they are nursing, even in that case, we would still assume that they are nursing from their mother, since that is the general nature of the animals. Mishnah Gimel. The Torah explicitly prohibits one from shearing a firstborn animal, even once the firstborn animal has a mum, it has a wound. One also cannot work the animal, and primarily it's designated just to slaughter and eat its meat. And this prohibition applies even to the kohen once he receives the firstborn animal. However, midoraisa, it's only forbidden to shear the sheep, for example, if it is the regular way of shearing the sheep, and that is using a tool which is regularly used for shearing. However, to pluck out some of the hair, some of the wool of the animal by hand is not forbidden midoraisa. However, midirabbanon, since it's very similar to a real act of shearing, this is also forbidden. Now, since it's only forbidden midirabbanon, they permitted it in certain cases. For example, if one is doing it in order to make the slaughtering of the animal easier, and perhaps even more than that, to avoid a possible invalidation of the slaughtering as a result of there being too much wool. Rabbi Yisbe Meshulam says, Hashaychit is a bechor, one who slaughters a firstborn animal which has a wound, Isa Mokan Bekoifitz Mekanu Mekan, which the Gemara translates to mean that he can make a space large enough for a butcher's knife, which he uses to cut meat, mikano mikan, from both sides of where he is planning on slaughtering the animal. Meaning, he can move the hair or the wool of the animal to either side of the place where he wants to slaughter the animal on its neck. And even though he's not going to use such a large knife, which is used for cutting meat, he can still make that space in order for it to be easier to slaughter with a regular slaughtering knife. And not only is he permitted to move the hair and the wool to the sides, but with Toilesh Haseyar, he can actually pluck the hair or the wool out by hand, since the Rabbanon do not forbid it in this case. Uvul Vad, as long as Shalei Zen Zenum Koimoi, that he doesn't move the wool from its place. He would pluck it out, but then he would leave it there dangling from the rest of the wool in order to make it clear that he's not taking the wool off of the animal for his own benefit, but rather only to make the slaughtering easier. And the Mishnah adds that the same applies, the same applies to one who wants to pluck out the hair of any firstborn in order to inspect a place of a wound. If there is an animal which has a possible wound and we're unsure whether that is a permanent wound which would make it invalid as a korban, so in order to make the inspection easier, one is also able to pluck out the hair or the wool by hand, since anyway the entire prohibition of taking out the hair or the wool by hand is only midrabbanon, they permitted it in these cases. Mishnah Dalet, like mentioned in the previous Mishnah, it is forbidden midaraisa to shear the wool or the hair of a firstborn animal even once it develops a wound. If one does shear the wool off, it is forbidden to benefit from that wool. At the same time, if one does not shear the wool off, when one slaughters the animal in order to eat the meat, all of the wool becomes permitted as well as soon as it is slaughtered. The question of our Mishnah concerns Sa'ar B'chor Ba'al Mum, the hair or the wool of a firstborn which has a wound. Shenoshar, which came off, it was separated from the animal whilst it was still alive. Ve'nichu B'chaloin, And the Kohen who had received this firstborn animal, he placed the wool in a storage area inside of a wall. Meaning he still has the wool, he keeps it to guard it, v'achakar shchotoy, and then he slaughters the animal. Akabe Mahalalel Matir, Akabe Mahalalel says that it is now permitted to benefit from that wool, just like it's permitted to benefit from any wool which is still attached to the animal. However, v'achom esrin, the Chachom say that it is forbidden, midrabonon, because the Chachom are concerned that the Kohen might be motivated to keep the animal alive for a long time in order that it grow a lot of wool. And once it grows a lot of wool, the Kohen might come to shear the animal because it has so much wool. And he wants it to grow more, and he might come to violate the prohibition of shearing the firstborn animal. He might also delay himself from slaughtering the animal, and the law is that it needs to be slaughtered within a year of its birth. Be as it may, in order to avoid that, the Chachom say that it is forbidden to benefit from any of the wool which was separated from the animal before it was slaughtered. To Rabbi Yehuda, that is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda on Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said, "Lo was zehit Rabbi Akavya." This is not the case which Akavya b'Mahalalel permitted. Over here, even the Chachom agree that it is permitted. Elo, rather, b'sa'ar b'chor b'almum shenoshar. The case which they argue about is regarding the hair or the wool of a firstborn animal which has a wound, where the hair or wool separated from the animal whilst it was still alive, and the Kohen placed it in the storage area in the wall, and then the firstborn animal died, didn't receive a valid slaughtering, but it died. In such a case, the entire firstborn animal needs to be buried, together with all of the wool which is on it. In this case, Akadim Halal says that it is permitted to benefit from it, and then Achachom forbid it, in case you come to leave the animal for a long time. Just they only prohibited it in this case, where anyway there is no wool which is becoming permitted. In a case where the animal is slaughtered, and all of the wool on the animal itself becomes permitted, so the Chachom agree that we also permit the rest of the wool which is now no longer connected to the animal. But in a case where the wool on the animal itself doesn't become permitted because it needs to be buried, then the Chachomim apply their concern, and Mejabonon, it's forbidden to benefit from the wool which had been separated before the animal died. Now the continuation of the Mishnah takes on the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that the Chachomim forbid the wool even in a case where the animal is slaughtered. And the Mishnah says that Semahamad Duvlol Babchor, wool which is dangling off of a firstborn animal, somehow it became separated from the animal whilst it was still alive. And then the Kohen comes to slaughter it. That wool, which seems to appear to be part of the rest of the wool being sheared off the animal, is no longer connected to the animal, but it's mixed in with the rest of the wool which is there. Mutar, it's actually permitted to benefit from that wool, just like the rest of the wool which is attached to the animal itself, since it appears to be attached. Since the whole prohibition is only with Jabonon, the wool which still appears to be attached to the animal is permitted. It's only Ve'es She'enin Erim in Agiza, that wool which is clearly not appearing to be like the rest of the wool which is being sheared now, Osur, that is forbidden to benefit from, according to the Chachomim, again, with Jabonon.